for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Saturday evening, May the 23rd, 1987. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting. Being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is tape one of two tapes. Bob Trench of South Africa is the speaker on this tape.
I believe that you should dedicate your life afresh. If you know there's something in your life that is causing you to stumble and not flow in the things of God, you need to raise your hand up toward heaven. And as you do that, we're going to agree with you that the Spirit of the Lord should lead and direct you. This is the time of dedication. This is the time of making right. This is the time of opening up to God. This is the time to have the Spirit of the Lord cleansing and purifying. Glory to the Lord. Father, you see these hands raised and the hearts open. We've heard your word. You said you will have a people that will follow. And we this night, we say to you, here we are. And by faith and best we know how, we put aside every care, every concern, and every past experience, and we humbly say to you, here we are. Take us. Move in us. Help us. Encourage us. Purify us. We open our hearts to you. We say, take over our lives. Do that which is right in your sight. We desire to follow you. We desire to have your touch upon us. And we bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
There's a spirit of intercession here. There's a spirit of brokenness. Lord, give us a true spirit of repentance. Cleanse us, Lord. Wash us, Lord. Wash us, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord. Break the stubbornness and rebellion from us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Mold us and make us, Lord. Mold us by your Spirit. Cleanse us and wash us, Lord. There are some here that the Lord's dealing with your hearts tonight. You may have said in these meetings many times in the past, the Lord's dealing with your heart and your spirit. He's calling. He's calling. The Spirit is calling. Now is the time of repentance. Now is the time of calling on the Lord. Today is the day of salvation.
The Lord would say to you, choose you this day who you will serve. Choose you this day who you will serve. Whether you will serve the gods of the Ammonites across the river, the gods that your father served in Egypt, or whether you will turn to serve me. But you must choose. You must choose this day.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I'll go with Him, with Him.
be dark. The water may be deep. You may be made fun of and talked against and reproached. Will you go with him? Will you go with him? Will you stand the reproach? Will you go with him? Amen.
This is the day of choice. You have to decide this night, I believe, in the Spirit. And I believe the response from our heart should be the same as Joshua has said. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I would like everybody to say that after me. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Devil, take note. As for me and my household, you are rebuked from my family forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I believe that your families are going to feel the impact from tonight. Something happened in the Spirit here tonight. Let's confirm it as we sing again. That beautiful chorus.
I can hear my Savior calling.
You need to be very quiet. Very quiet. God, not always, always in noise. Let's be quiet. Things have been happening right now in the Spirit. Then I ask Glenn to pray over and seal by faith the commitment that we've made, that the devil doesn't come and steal it away, that it would always be fresh in our memory that tonight was the night that members of our family were set free from the accursed things that have crept into our families. Some of you are going to return home, and I believe that I'm speaking in the name of the Lord and going to get some tremendously encouraging reports that in your family, messengers from God have gone out before you and have begun to do their work. Not because you and I deserve it, no. But because we've responded to the love of God. And as Glenn prays this prayer, think of members of your family. Think of inroads the devil has made into your circumstances. And begin to believe that he's been pushed out by the prayers that are prayed, by the response of love, and by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Elisha's servant said, "My father, what shall we do?" And Elisha said, "Lord, open his eyes that he might see." When his eyes were opened, he saw the chariots of fire of the Lord encamped around about. The Lord did battle and brought great victory. I believe there was 170,000 that was slain by the army of the Lord. And the army of the Lord pursuing battle in the heavenlies. In behalf of his people this night, we stand and declare and make Jesus Lord of our lives. And say that I will serve the Lord. I will not turn back. I will make him Lord of my life. And the Lord's calling on many tonight that have never really made him Lord of their life, to make him Lord of their life. And the chariots of the Lord and the angels of the Lord are doing battle in the heavenlies against the forces of Satan in behalf of you and me tonight over this place, that we will be victorious in the things of the Lord. Father, I thank you for the mighty presence of your mighty angels in our midst. I thank you for it. And the spirits have just been made perfect and are looking on as the battle rages in the heavenlies against the power, satanic powers of Satan that are determined to destroy both us and our families. But Father, thou art the victor. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. And I praise you for your presence, and I praise you for the spirits of just men made perfect, and for the angels of the Lord that have come to rejoice and to do battle with us. Father, we bind the powers of Antichrist, we bind the powers of rebellion, we bind the powers of sin. I break the curses of it off of these people in the name of the Lord, and I lift them to serve the living God with all that's within them. Father, I thank you for it, and I praise you. Now, I loose you. I loose you to serve God. I loose you to rejoice in the Lord. I loose you to praise the Lord with all that's within you. I break the bonds off of you. I break the curses from off of you. I loose you from the lethargy. I loose you from despondency. I loose you from whatever's been binding or holding you from praising the Lord. I loose you from it to praise and to glorify and to magnify the Lord, to rejoice in the things of the Lord and to praise him. Father, I thank you for bringing deliverance this night in many areas of our lives and in the families, those that are represented or not here, Lord, in far-off corners of the earth. I speak deliverance and healing and restoration and salvation to their souls. I loose them to salvation. I loose them from the bondages of sin. I loose them from satanic powers. I loose them from drugs. I loose them from the powers of Satan. And I break the curses of alcohol and divorce and adultery and fornication off of them. I loose them from it in the name of the Lord. And I break the powers and the bonds of sin. And I call them to repentance by the mighty power of the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord. I thank you, Father, and I praise you for hearing our petitions in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for the mighty glory of thy manifestation in our midst as we lift up our voices in praise and magnification unto thee. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy is the Lord. Greatly to be praised. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
When the Spirit of the Lord moves, we need to keep calm, keep our emotions under control, so the Spirit can do His work. And the scripture we had read to us was Moses, take off your shoes. And it says, and he said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest, where you stand, where your circumstances are, where your family are, when you see the fire of God in the desert place, when you can see spiritually, then suddenly the backside of the desert becomes holy ground. I believe you should be seated for a moment. Some of you have been in the backside of the desert. Some of you don't. The backside of the desert actually is a place of no prosperity, is what the Bible teaches. Where Moses was in a place of no prosperity, no future, almost a hopeless position. And then God said to him, because you saw the little fire in the bush, and you drew hither, and you heard my voice, and you came closer. And I believe that's what happened tonight. We heard the voice of the Lord and we came a little closer. And then we heard, I believe through the Spirit, that we ought to take our shoes off. And we did that. And once he took his shoes off, then God began to give him an extremely good report. And I'd like to pass on that report tonight.
Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Great reverence, and I sensed there was a spirit that was coming upon us tonight of reverence. And great respect, for our God indeed is a holy God. He's not like other gods that you make with hands. He is the Creator. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. This whole weekend that I've been with you, I've heard people come up to me and they've been talking about sorrows and afflictions and problems and difficulties. The affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. You must know that God knows your sorrows. He knows your temptations, he knows your weaknesses, but you know that he also knows your tremendous potential in the Spirit. And this is what God said to Moses, and I believe it's the message for you at this moment in time. And God said, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land. I believe that for many of you, you're being moved into a good place, in a new place, and a lodge unto a land flowing with milk and honey. No more in a place of no prosperity, but a place of great prosperity. Unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. That place is now occupied by others. But God says, I've come to deliver you from your taskmasters. From those that would hold you in bondage, I've come to bring you into a place of great liberty, in a place of great freedom. The fact that you take your shoes off is one thing. You take them off every day, hopefully. But the key is this. When he saw Moses in that desert, it was just an ordinary desert. And the Lord looked at him and said, Moses, because you have seen this thing, because you have seen this revelation and a spirit, if I had time, there's a spirit of understanding involved here. His eyes became enlightened. And God said to him, because of this, you today, I'll turn this backside of the desert for you into holy ground. And right where you are tonight, I don't care how unprofitable it is, how difficult it is, how impossible it seems, God wants me to say to you, right into your spirit tonight you are on holy ground. Where you stand, not where God stands, not where Bob Trench stands, not where Glenn Miller stands, but where you stand, because of faith, you have transformed that backside of the desert into holy ground. That's the word of the Lord. That's the word of the Lord, and to those that can receive it in the Spirit, and it releases you, and God will watch over that word to perform it. Be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen. Just be quiet. Hold hands. See, we believers, in our enthusiasm, and it is exciting, but sometimes we forget that the Lord wants to cement things in. You know, when the queen comes, there's always shouting with a crowd. But when you're in her presence, you behave very quietly. You don't make a fool of yourself. You don't jump out of line. You allow Her Majesty to minister to you, talk to you. And I believe right now there's a personal word for many of you. I want you to pray for the one on the left-hand side of you, right? The one on the left-hand side. I want you to say this, Father, I bless this person. I thank you tonight that this one is on holy ground because of faith in you. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, the one on the right hand, I want you to pray for that person. Father, this person, I thank you tonight. They move into prosperity. Spiritually, physically, culturally, every area.
They cannot escape. Thank you, Father. Now you take your hands and put it out like that. Open before the Lord. Open before the Lord. And say this to the Father. Your Father, my Father, our Father. Say this, Father, by faith, my hands are open. I hold nothing back. If you see anything that needs to be removed, please take it away. If there's anything that needs to be added, I would love to have it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Glenn.
Father, I thank you for this that's been given into our hands tonight from these thy people as a love offering and a sweet savor unto thee. I present it unto Jesus, who is my high priest and our high priest, as a sweet savor and offering on the altar before the throne for thy glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for receiving it. Thank you, Father. Now, as I take authority over it, I become. Thank you for this, for it, Father. I thank you for these people who have given it. And I bind it to the kingdom of the living God. This shall be used for nothing but the necessity of life and the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus and declaring of the kingdom. Shall multiply again and again and again and again for thy kingdom's sake. That Jesus shall be glorified, and the world shall know that he lives and he reigns, that he's the king of all the earth and all the universe, the king of glory. Jesus is his name, Lord of lords and king of kings. To him be the glory and the honor and the dominion, the authority and the power forever and ever. Prince of peace, mighty God, Emmanuel is his name. Hallelujah. Rock of ages, bright and morning star, lily of the valley, rose of Sharon. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty. I bless him with the blessing of the word of the Lord. I thank you for your blessing upon him. Thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you for your anointing to flow and move and rest upon them, for their hearts to be open to receive the word of the Lord. Stand to be ready. Soldiers standing in their place in the ranks of the army of the Lord, walking, not murmuring or complaining or finding fault, walking forward, declaring that thou art Lord, captain of the host of the armies of the Lord. We're moving forth unto victory in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you for it. Now bless Brother Bob as he ministers to us the rest of the evening. Bless him, Lord. Your anointing and blessing may flow and move in this place. In these thy people, they may return to be a firebrand filled with the power of the living God, declaring in their area that Jesus truly is Lord. I thank you for it. Amen. In the morning, between about at 9:30, instead of having the prayer meeting we generally have, all of you who have children, we'll gather here. We will start the morning service by having a special service with the children. And then when that's finished, it will flow right on in to the morning worship service. And Brother Norman Parrish will be ministering in the morning. Brother Bob.
In fact, you're inclined to say, is it, should we even bring a word? Should we possibly not consider all that has been said? One of the problems with meat, if you get too much meat, you get indigestion. But on the other hand, I then think, well, we're here for a weekend, and I don't know where you'll be next week and the following week. And I'm not sure at this particular moment. I came here with a thought in my mind, and I believe that that thought is not for this meeting. Spirit of the Lord has moved completely in a different direction, and I believe there have been some incredible victories already won. See, the thing, very often when God moves, you may not understand.
stand and realize the implications of what is taking place. But there has to be an element of faith, of trust, and belief that everywhere you go, God is for you. See, many people think, well, God is for me if I'm in a right place. No, even when you are not right with God, He's still for you. Even though He may deal with you, but He's still for you. I remember one occasion I was ministering in England, and I can't remember exactly what upset this brother, but he was a pastor, and I did something, and it was a city hall meeting, and it was convened by businessmen, but he took umbrage at something that was said. And he came to me and he said, "Brother, I want you to know that you were in the flesh." Well, it wasn't any news to me. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I'm always in the flesh, aren't I?" He said, "What I mean was," he said, "that was not of God, what you did." "Oh," I said, "that's possible, you know." He said, "There's only two things that happen in my ministry. One, it's from God, and the other, it's for God. There is no condemnation. And I make mistakes, and I make failures, and I fall flat on my face. But praise God, when I fall flat, I'm facing Him even when I fall." God did not call me to the ministry because I was perfect. If He had to work on me and make me perfect before I could minister, I'll never minister. So what are you waiting for? See, people say to me, "Oh, I'm waiting on the Lord." Doesn't that sound good, you know? You're counseling a chap, or you're talking to a guy, and you're just getting to reach him, and then he says to you, "Oh, well, brother, I'm waiting on the Lord." That used to blow my mind. That's the most religious statement, and I know, and I knew, they always hide behind it. It's like a big rock, and you don't know what to do. But one of my roles is contract manager. So words have an extremely important part to play. So I decided one day, nobody's going to catch me with it. I want to know what it means to wait on the Lord. You know, in my mind, I had visions of going in a door, in a room, closing the door. We had a pastor used to tell us he would wait on the Lord for 2 days before Sunday. Well, I'm in business, and I just wonder what he did. What can you do for 2 days in the door, behind the door? You know, if I pray for 20 minutes, after 20 minutes, I've got to start getting the Chinese dictionary out and praying for every Chinaman. But it was always impressive that he was waiting on the Lord, see? And he got away with it for years. Just like you, chaps. We're all guilty, you know, don't matter what office we got, says we are co-heirs together with Him. See, one guy said to me, "Oh, well, you're just a layman." Well, they said the same about Jesus too, didn't they? I'm in good company. They said the same about Nehemiah and Daniel and Joseph and Isaiah and Ezekiel. I found that every man was a businessman. So you're in good company here tonight. But what does it mean when you're waiting on the Lord? And I found out the word for waiting on the Lord is the same root word where you get your word waitress, serving one. Now let me tell you, any of you guys that come and tell me you're waiting on the Lord, you're in for a shock. Because I'm going to ask you, well, which way are you serving? You know that when it says the queen or the princess has a lady in waiting, the lady in waiting is doing all the work. Jesus said there's going to be a tremendous shortage in the last days. He didn't say we're going to need some more pastors or missionaries or evangelists. Those are gifts, and He knows how to give gifts. What He did say, there's going to be a shortage of laborers. Guys that can roll their sleeves up and get in and do the job. I tell you, we've seen some amazing things happen. We decided, oh well, let me tell you a little story about something. Oh, many years ago, I got to go back a little while. There was a fellow by the name of Billy Branham. Who's ever heard of Billy Branham? Okay. He decided that he was coming to South Africa. And so the Pentecostal churches combined and invited this church. I personally had never heard of him. Didn't know who he was. Did he come from Arkansas? I mean, what do you call it? Arkansas. Indiana. So we're not guilty yet. Okay. Well, he came, he arrived in Johannesburg, he went to Kimberley and he Cape Town, and we were in Durban, and he was due about 2 weeks' time. They'd hired the city hall, the combined churches. Now, I was a new Christian, about 2 years old. I don't think I was 21 yet. They'd hired the city hall, they'd put all the pamphlets out, they'd done all the advertising, they'd paid all the deposits, they'd done all the major work, and then somebody said that this man had the wrong doctrine. So the churches began to fight over the doctrine, and they sent him a telegram and told him not to come to Durban. But now I'm a businessman. And I thought this out, you know, gee, the city hall's paid for. The programs are out. All the money's spent. You can't lose. You must make money. So I got two Scotsmen to join me. I got Johnny Johnson and Walter Dove. I said to him, listen, here's the greatest business opportunity I ever heard of in my life. How can we go wrong? So we agreed. Because of greed. So we met this character. We sent him a telegram and we phoned him in Cape Town and said, come on up. Now, it was a hillbilly kind of chap to us. You think my accent's a problem? We weren't sure what he was saying. But what he did say to me on the telephone was, make sure you've got sick people in the meeting. All right, all right. I mean, you're going to pray for the sick. What do you need? You need sick people. You need sick people, don't you? That didn't seem way out to me. So I phoned my friend in the hospital. We have the largest hospital in the southern hemisphere in our city. I said, we want some of your patients to come to this meeting. Well, he was also a Scotsman, a member of the Caledonian Society. He said, I can't do that. I said, yes, you can. We're in the same society. You owe me one. I've done you a few favors. You've got to do one for me. He said, I can't just send you patients to go sit in the city hall trench. You're crazy. I said, listen, you've got some guys there in this, you know, when they're not going to recover, what do you call it? Terminal patients. You got some terminal patients, and you've admitted the fact they're in there, everybody knows they're not going to make it. Well, give us a handful of them, you know. So, he was a decent kind of guy. His name was Simpson. He's a nice chap. Oh, he's a Scotsman, you know. I put a bit of pressure on him. And so what happened? He got about 12 ambulances with a couple of sisters, and they brought these people on stretchers, you know, with the drips, and we had a special place in the city hall. And then, just to make sure that this was going to be a very profitable business, we invited the medical profession. I have some connections with the medical profession. And I told them about this fella, and I phoned up a few, and so we had a little place set aside for the doctors that they could come and see this quack, or whatever you want to call him, crackpot, you know. Now, we weren't crying. I want you to understand that this was strictly a business. But you see, you never know what God's doing. And I was new, so, you know. Anyway, we met the fellow in the airport, and I was a bit disappointed when I saw him. He was about my size, and he had a big cowboy hat and a big pair of boots, and the Bible was bigger than him. And from the time I met him at the airport, he just kept reading to me out of the Bible. But I didn't understand his accent. It was impossible. You know, and I found out what he was doing was leaving words out. If it was a big word, he couldn't pronounce it, That's my opinion. I'm not saying I'm right, but that's what I reckoned he was doing. Well, we got him in a hotel, and we were relaxed because we had heard that the people were coming. In fact, by 3 o'clock that afternoon, the first meeting was at 7. By 3 o'clock, the fire department were on duty, and the police were on duty because of the crowd. And we knew we had a money winner here, you know. Well, some fellows said, what about the crazy doctrine? We said, we'll repent afterwards, but let's get the money in first. Well, everybody got that meeting. And there's the three of us. Now, one of the things that had happened, the combined churches had printed decision cards. You know, decision cards, you fill them in. And some of the people didn't know the church had backed out, so some of the workers came anyway. So we had them, we had free labor too. Well, you know, they thought we were big deals, yeah, and we felt important. Well, this fella got up and he kind of blew my mind away at first, because as best I remember it, now I may not have it all right, but as best I remember it, they were singing some songs, and I said, well, we'd like to put you on now. You know, I wanted to get him on and get it over with and go home and count the money, the offering, you see. Because I'd seen the offering, it was in big boxes, man. People were just gay, you know. And, you know, we had no overheads. Everything was paid, see. But then he said to me, he said, no, I can't minister until the angel of the Lord comes. Well, I said, I thought maybe he's expecting me to bring the angel of the Lord, you know. I thought, oh, dear. So I said to my friend Johnny Johnson, he'd gone to Bible school. I said, Johnny, what's he talking about, angel of the Lord coming? How do I know? He said, it's your idea, you know. And so we had a little discussion. And so they kept singing for a bit. And then suddenly, Billy Branham says to me, the angel is coming. I thought, thank God he's come. You know, we get on with it. And so he got up and he read a little bit out of the word. And now you must imagine the front of the city hall. We had all these stretcher coaches. All these terminal people. And he just walked out. He didn't have his hat on, but he still had his cowboy boots, and I didn't think that was very spiritual. You know, I'd never seen a guy dressed quite like this chap. And he looked over, and he saw this one lady lying in bed there, and he said to her, your name is, and he gave her name. I thought, that was good, you know. I wondered how he got her name, you know. And he said, and you live in Road Sunshine Street, Sunshine. Well, I'm holding on to the head table up on our platform because, you know, I came to the think this must be spiritism. You know, and I don't want the devil to be involved. I just want to make money, you know. I don't want the devil in here. And then he said to her, he said, in the name of Jesus, and I was relieved to hear him say that, he said to him, madam, you can get up and walk. Well, her sister said she can't. Because I think her neck was broken and her spine was broken and I don't know, she had all kinds of things that were wrong with her. He said, and madam, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And she began to get up. Now, she was just lying with a sheet. She had no clothes on, I have to tell you that. So somebody had to run and they put a coat and stuff around her and she began to walk. Well, the sister's running with a bottle, you know, the blood carrying it around, telling her to sit down, and this woman is beginning to jump. I thought, well, you know, that's super. I mean, tomorrow night we're going to get a huge crowd, you know. I don't think about praising God, nothing. I can only see dollars, 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 you know. Then he went through all of them. He said to this person, you got this and that, and he just boo-boo. And, I mean, suddenly everybody was healed. I'm not talking about maybe. I'm talking about something real. Definite and genuine, and I don't care about the man's doctrine. What I do know is, in the name of Jesus, he seemed to have heard from God, and the thing worked. So now we go, I mean, by the time we got home, it was 2 a.m, so we couldn't count the money. We hardly slept thinking about it, but anyway. So in the morning, because we had morning meetings and afternoon meetings, and, you know, we working. So we just put all this money in a bank, you know, sealed it, not counted. Well, we had such tremendous things happen that we were having more people outside the city hall than we could get inside. So I thought, well, while we've got him, let's maximize this thing, you know, for the Lord, of course. And a bit of that, you know, the two work in. So I went to the race course. And there was a Catholic fellow in charge of the race course. Well, you can imagine the newspapers are reporting this everywhere because there are trainloads of Zulus coming and busloads and the whole the town of 2 million is coming to a standstill. And here I am, not 21, and the newspapers are talking to me about it. What do I know? I'd give them any answer, you know. I don't care. I don't know what God's doing. I didn't want him to find out what was behind it all. So I went to the race course and I found this Catholic fellow and I told him, you know, this prophet's come. No doubt, there's a prophet, he's kind of fallen out the sky, and here he is, but look, you can come and see for yourself. And the Catholic was scared. You know, if he didn't do it, because it may be, it's God. He asked me he's a Catholic. I said, I think he is, you know. I want the money. I want the race. I thought a little lie wouldn't count in those days. You know, God would understand it was business. Well, we got the race course, and I remember I got some fellows we had to make in the straight, you know, right at the winning post. We had to make a platform to put him on. And we then, by now, we were bold, and we invited all the hospitals. It's amazing how bold you can get on another man's faith, I tell you. We invited all the hospitals to bring in people. Now, I don't want to exaggerate, but the newspapers covered it for days. The ambulances just came in their droves and just put people there. When the blacks heard what was happening, they brought their people from hundreds of miles in there, too. In the gold ring, on that race course, we had all these stretchers. You can remember, I don't know how many. Let's say 400, 500, 600, I don't remember. Stretchers out. Now, you know, in our part of the world, it's tropical, and so they were arriving early in the morning, and it's hot. And then usually in the evening, we get a cloudburst. And that's what happened. And when the cloudburst came, these poor people, some of them fortunately had umbrellas and sunshades, but we didn't have any facilities to protect it. And you know, the newspaper came to me and said, now these people are going to get pneumonia, they're going to die, and it's going to be on you. I want to tell you, not a very nice thought. I think that's the first time I prayed. Suddenly I found I was in trouble. And I prayed, I said, God, don't let them die. Don't let them catch anything here. You know, I mean, you know, we just want to make some clean money and we won't do it again. You know, that's just that kind of thing. Well, that night, it cleared up in the evening, a beautiful African night. And they talk about something like 200,000 and 300,000 people gathered there. We have a golf course in the middle and there were more people in the golf course. It was just people. In fact, the city closed down. The bus service stopped. The train service stopped. The police force came and the army was on duty because Jesus was working through the most unlikely people. The most unlikely people. Hope you understand what I'm telling you. Even with a wrong motive, you don't stop God if he's really wanting to reach people. So we've got to get a few things straight. God is working. God prefers my motive to those who are fighting over doctrine, I believe. Well, I have never seen a meeting like that. First thing that happened, he called an Indian chap up who was paralyzed and he walked and then somebody else and he walked and something else. And then suddenly the face of the people rose up. 200,000 people began to minister to each other. And you could hear the noise as the spirit moved across the race course. It went like this. Ooh! Was a roar of people. And the Zulus get excited. And they pull stakes out the ground. They knock over fences and they break windows and they took down walls. They just got excited. Well, when I left that race course at 3 o'clock in the morning or thereabouts, all the ambulances were parked outside empty. There were stretchers, there were wheelchairs, everything you can imagine. The paraphernalia of the medical profession was there, but not the people. And the ambulance people are playing cards because they're getting overtime. They're not in a hurry to go back there. Now, there's always somebody trying to make money. Well, you know, I took this fellow Branham, bless him, to the airport. I never told him what was behind it, you know. We got him to the airport in Durban, and we had to wait a little while, and we sat down with him, and he told me, he said, you see, son, when we left the United States, God told me the number one city that he was going to reveal himself was Durban. He took out his diary, and he said, now have a look at my diary. He said, that's where I wrote it. And the Lord told me what he was going to do, how he was going to do. And if you read any of Billy Branham's books, he'll tell you the greatest meeting he ever held was in Durban. But God had prepared me in a way that he could reach me, see. And then when he gave me this beautiful story, I felt a bit embarrassed.
shout, you know, my background to it, but I didn't intend telling him. And then he said, now, may I tell you something? He said, yes. He said, never in the future try and make money from the gospel. He said, it comes free and you better learn to give it free. I said, yes, sir. But in the meantime, I'm happy. And I thought, well, I got all those boxes of money. And the fellas, the three of us, began to count our money in the bank. And then I got a phone call from the race course. The fella said to me, you better come here urgently. He said, you want to see the damage? I said, what damage? He said, your people went wild. It was like a... He said, you got a riot here. He said, not only have they pulled the fences out and broken windows, he said, they've taken the benches away, they've broken the stiles. He said, it's in a mess. He said, I've got the contractors in, I've got the insurance people in, and you better come here. I want to tell you something, that God is incredible. When they put that race course back in order, I think it was to the tune of $32,000 and so many cents. With a big one? Was it more? I know it was an odd sort of figure, but it was a lot. But I can't remember, but say it was $32,700. When we counted up our money, we had about $32,750. We had about $50 over, enough to take our three wives out, or our three girlfriends, for dinner. We never made one penny. Not one penny. Not one penny. That when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask that question. I say, Father, will you explain that to me? How did you figure that out, you know? Now, I've shared that with you to tell you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the most powerful force that this world has ever seen. And the fact that you are not perfect does not stop the gospel from being the most powerful force. But too many people are looking to themselves, thinking that unless they are perfect, then God won't work through them. I want you to know, God desires perfection with all his heart. God desires sinless people. But people that wait until they're perfect are no good for the gospel. I don't know why I shared that story, but it came out. Often people ask me to explain, how do you raise the dead? Well, we have done that on a couple of occasions, and it doesn't quite work out the way you would imagine. So let me explain a few things. You see, the gospel is a way of life. It's not a new religion. Jesus did not come to set up a new religion. Most of what we have is Judaism, nothing to do with new life. So we were in a hotel, Athlone Hotel. We had a man from London, a business character, and we decided to teach on the authority of the believer. I found out every time you talk on the authority of the believer, the devil challenges you. So we decided, we put a big advert out, we then talk about the role of the believer and the authority of the ordinary believer. It was a meeting about this size. And about that row back there was a lady there, and as we started, we heard the death rattle, and she fell over. And we prayed for her and carried her out, you know. We adjourned the meeting because we'd just begun. Took her out into the side room, and we notified the reception, and they went through the hotel, and they found a doctor. And he came and examined her, you know, with a mirror, the whole work, spent about half an hour. He said, she can't do anything, she's dead. We had her on a stretcher, and they put a sheet over it. Well, we walked back in the room, and he found the mortuary. So we walk back in the room, but our subject is still the authority of the believer. And I had a fellow, another businessman, Dick Cooper, with me. And as we walked in, he said, well, old boy, what you going to do? I said, what do you mean, what am I going to do? He said, you still got to speak on the authority of the believer? I said, well, would you like to do it? No, he said, yeah. He said, but why don't we go back there and raise it? Oh, man, that's a good idea. I said, Dick, that's super. So we go back in and in this little side room. And when we got there was a Hindu waiter.
I'm watching the body. I asked him why he was there. And, well, you know, the Hindus believe in reincarnation. And he thought, well, it'd be intriguing to see a white person, what they would be reincarnated into. And he was hoping it would happen while he was there. So I don't know, well. So I took the sheet off and I saw this lady lying there. And so I said, okay, Dick, you pray and I'll agree with you. He said, no, no, no. He said, you're the chairman of this deal, you pray. I said, but Dick, it was your idea. He said, no, but you, I'll agree with you. So we had a little word about it. And I thought, well, there's only the two of us, and he and I have been friends for years, and the Hindu waiter, he doesn't count anyway. So I thought, well, how do you raise the dead? I've never done it before. I knew there were some scriptures about it, but, you know, what's the use of scriptures? You got them in your head and memorize them, and they're not in here. They're no value to you. You know, most of the people that got all the Bible done or anything anyway. They don't do anything. I thought, gee, what am I going to do? So I said, spirit of death, come out of her and leave her now in Jesus' name. Now, I looked at old Dick, and he's an elder in the Presbyterian Church, so you have to understand. He looks at me, so I got a bit angry with him because I didn't feel he was standing with me. I said, Dick, let's agree on it. I said, Father, we want her back. We got to talk about authority in there, and then the devil's pulled a trick on us here, and we don't like it. I said, in Jesus' name, come back to life. I curse you, you spirit of death. Well, I did it about 3 or 4 times, and then I thought I saw her eyes move. So I said to Dick, Dick, I think her eyes move. He said, don't be silly, she's dead, man. That did a lot. That did a lot. But guess what?
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.